Thanks for being here. With the five-day weekend and stock show and everything else, just wasn't sure if it would be just the righteous remnant or not. But it's good to be gathered together. I'm George Lumpkin, one of the pastors here. Today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and a regular recognition of Jesus's baptism and our baptism, usually the Sunday after Epiphany Sunday. And so here in a little bit, we're going to do a renewal of baptism, not a baptism, but a renewal or a remembrance of your own baptism. We've got these little bowls of water up here. You can come forward and maybe just touch the water if you want. Make the sign of the cross on your forehead if you want, as a way of remembering that you are baptized. If you have not been baptized, then come in and speak to Jackie or I after the service. We'd love to have a conversation about that. So we'll go into the liturgy for that after the sermon. So seeing some babies today, which is awesome, cool. I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege and tell you about my baby, my grandson, okay? My grandson, who is wonderful and smart and awesome and beautiful and sweet and kind and the best grandchild ever in the whole history of mankind. As is yours, right? As is yours, right? He's almost three. He was born Friday the 13th, March 2020, a weekend I will never forget. He was born, and then the whole world shut down in such a surreal way. So he's almost three, okay? And we spent some time with him during the Christmas break, and I gave him a couple of candy canes. And when you're two, it's not self-evident what you do with a candy cane, okay? And so I showed him what to do, how to take off the wrapper and how to eat it, okay? And so he likes it. And then I said, Leo, would you share one of your candy canes with me? Nope. Just a little bit? Nope. But I gave you those candy canes. Can't you share with Grandpa? Nope. So, my grandson, is he wonderful? Yes. Is he selfish? Yes. Is he cranky, stubborn, in need? Is he human? Yes. He is all those things. And so in baptism, we are in need. In our scripture, we find good old John the Baptist. He's down in the Jordan River, waiting around, offering a baptism of repentance, a baptism for the possibility of change. To repent means to go in a different direction with your life. A baptism of repentance, a baptism of change, a baptism of a different direction with your life, a different direction with forgiveness. Forgive me, free me, empower me to live a different kind of life. Now, in the church, when we talk about baptism, quite often we talk about how you were baptized. Were you totally immersed? Were you sprinkled? A lot of times we talk about when you were baptized. Were you baptized as a baby? Were you baptized as an adult? Where were you baptized? Were you baptized in the correct church? Or were you baptized in the incorrect church? Right? Or we might talk about if you were baptized. Less seldom do we ask, did you need to be baptized? Do you need to be baptized? Huh? Who needs to be baptized? Sinners, sure. But what about those who are right? I've been watching a series about these programmers, really, that design games, online games, okay? And there's this one little vignette. It's this couple, and the woman has kind of a vision for a computer game. And they marry, they fall in love, they marry. They design this game, and it catches on, and it's growing, and their business is growing, and they're getting successful. And from time to time, he keeps talking her into letting go a part of the original vision, that if we change this, we'll make more money. If we change that, we'll have more customers. We'll grow. And they do. She does. She reluctantly gives in every time. And they grow. And they're successful. And then there's a point when the original vision is just gone. It skips ahead in time. And they've divorced. And she's, and they happen to meet each other in a store. She has remarried. She has kids. And in this meeting, you can tell that he's filled with regret. That he kept doing all the things he thought was the right thing to do. And it succeeded. And yet he failed the one that he loved. Guilt, remorse. Who needs to be baptized? Good people, bad people, perfect grandsons, me, all fall short, says Paul in Romans. All fall short. First the Jew, then the Gentile, he says. First us fall short and they fall short. The other, the us, a biblical way of saying everyone, all fall short. I've spent a lot of time thinking about that tiny word, that little three-letter word, all, which has such ginormous meaning in the Scripture, large in implication. In the Scripture, Jesus comes to be baptized. Does Jesus need to be baptized? If Jesus is without sin, why does he need to be baptized? This has bothered the church for centuries. It bothers John the Baptist. He sees it. He says, Jesus, it's you that needs to be baptized in me, not me baptizing you. And Jesus says, no, let it be. We want to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So why would Jesus do it? I think part of it is just solidarity. I think Jesus would never do anything that he would never ask us to do anything that he would not be willing to do. I think it's, you know, it's humbling to repent. It's humbling to submit to baptism. And he is not going to be superior to us. But why does he do it? I think it's because that baptism is not just about forgiveness. It's about empowerment. He needs God the Father just as much as anybody. More so. And the power of God, the Holy Spirit, comes upon him. In the second scripture, it's a baptism story in the book of Acts. It's a momentous story. It's almost two chapters long. It's one of the longest stories in the New Testament. And the writer of Acts slows down to really tell us this story. He slows down. Maybe he slows down because the disciples and the church has been slow to learn. It's the story of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman centurion. Cornelius is a Gentile. Cornelius is the wrong sort of person. But he has a vision that Peter's going to come to visit him. And Peter has a vision. And in the vision, this sheet comes down with all these ritually unclean animals, and the voice says, kill and eat, Peter. And he says, no, I would never eat anything unclean. And the voice says, do not call unclean what I have made clean. And then there's a knock at the door. And he goes to Cornelius' house, which is a big step in itself. He's not supposed to go into the house of a Gentile, of an unbeliever, of a not us, of a not clean. They are the wrong sorts of people. They are outsiders. But give Peter credit. He understands that these outsiders are seeking God. They're seekers. What do you do with people who are wrong, but they're seeking God? What do we do with people who want to know God, but they're the wrong sort of people? Peter shares the gospel with them. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. Peter and the disciples are shocked. It's not supposed to work this way. They're the wrong people. They belong to the wrong party. They watch the wrong news channel. They vote wrong. They believe wrong. They act wrong. And the Holy Spirit is on them just like us. Peter, give him credit, considers the amazing possibility that he might have some things wrong. The insider has the humility to consider that he might not understand how God works as much as he thought he did. I now realize, he says, that God is the Lord of all, which is just so ironic to me, okay? Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, not some nations. Jesus says, for God so loved part of the world. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, he didn't say, for some of those who believe in me. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms, not in my Father's house there's a few rooms. Does all mean all? All are called to repent, all are called to seek, all are called to ask. All are called to receive. Baptism is all these things. I would suggest to you that baptism is not an event, but a way of life. In the same way, a wedding ceremony is an event that is the beginning of a journey. You go and you get married, and then you spend a long time trying to figure out how to be married. Apparently, I'm still a student, according to my wife. She's teaching me how to be married. We get baptized, and then we learn, and we practice, and we try, and we succeed, and we fail, and we take two steps forward and one back, and how to be the kind of follower of Jesus that Jesus needs us to be. The Lord of all, that speaks to me. Lord of all people. Lord of my dark side, Lord of my loneliness, Lord of my sin, Lord of my shame, Lord of my joy and my tears and my future and my death, Lord of my job stress, Lord of my family, Lord of my enemies, Lord of those who drive me crazy. Who needs this kind of Lord? Who needs this kind of God? Who needs to be baptized into this way of life? Who needs to figure out and be empowered and be surrounded by others who will encourage and teach and hold up this baptized way of life for me? I ran across a story about André Bessette. He's born in Canada. He was frail from birth. He was orphaned at age 12. He tried various trades but failed at everything. Couldn't hold a job for long because of his poor health. At age 25, he entered a monastery, taking the name of Brother André. Because of his lack of education and poor health, the monastery tried to kick him out, get rid of him. They didn't have a place for him, dismiss him. Only a bishop's intervention kept him there. Not knowing what else to do with him, the superior assigned André to be the doorman at a boys' school. The doorman at a boys' school, where he remained for 40 years. His healing hospitality became such a gift to so many that a chapel had to be built for him to receive the sick who came. His fame spread internationally, and at least 10,000 persons were said to have been healed through him. This sickly monk lived to be 91, and at his death, which was back in the 1930s, more than 1 million people came to bid him farewell. all. All is so hopeful, scary, threatening, hopeful, that God has a place for all to serve. God has a place for all who maybe the world don't see their potential, their value, their heart. Let's think of baptism not as a requirement, but as a gift to help me with my forgetfulness, a gift to help me remember who I am, who I belong to, and to be thankful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.